Okay, Kinderlach, you sit back now and relax and enjoy the story. Meir was a young man who loved and respected his rabbi very much. Therefore, when the rabbi told him that he must settle in a small village among non-Jews, he obeyed without question. Meir realized that the rabbi must have a good reason for sending him to this isolated village, away from all his Jewish friends. Yet, when he arrived there, he searched in vain for something to accomplish that would seem worthwhile. Being a young and devoted husband, he hated leaving his wife in this lonely place with their only 5-year-old son to keep her company. Yet, he had to do this every Monday morning when he traveled forth with a pack of merchandise on his back. He had to go to the surrounding townlets and villages to sell his wares in order to make a meager living for his beloved family. They used to call that a customer peddler. In other words, he used to go peddling so that he can earn a few cents and have money for his family. Meir could hardly wait for Thursday evening to come round when he would return to his dear wife and son with whatever money he made. And what made the matters much worse was that though all his non-Jewish neighbors seemed ready to be quite friendly, there was the village priest who showed a determined desire to do him harm and poison the minds of his neighbors against him. In general, all the people who lived in the village were too busy with their own affairs to worry about the priest's attempt to make trouble for Meir. But when their various festivals came round, they seemed more inclined to listen and take notice of their priest's talk. Meir sensed the feeling of hostility which was growing around him, and so when the festivals approached, he usually made arrangements for his wife and son to stay with some Jewish friends in a nearby town during his absence. On one of these occasions, however, Meir's wife had a slight chill, and they were afraid it would be too risky for her to travel in the wintry weather. So they decided she would stay in the village and hope for the best. Surely the villagers would not harm them. Just about this time, the village priest had made up his mind once and for all to see to it that Meir should be frightened away from the village forever. Realizing that he wasn't making enough progress with the villagers on his own, he sent for a young monk to help him save the villages from that Jew Meir. The young monk, who's like a person who's going to be a priest, who arrived, was an earnest young man and a very eloquent speaker. He spoke very nicely. He was very youthful and handsome, and he made a very lovely appearance and a very favorable impression upon the simple villagers. And when he appealed to them, they agreed to help him. Then they were going to bring this about for the sake of their souls. You see, he made them feel that if he can get rid of Meir the Jew, their souls are going to have everything that they wanted. Because getting rid of the non-believer Meir was the biggest thing that they could ever accomplish. The village priest had seen Meir leave the village that morning with the usual pack of merchandise slung over his shoulders. So he knew that Meir would surely be away for some days, as always, because he had to go peddling to make a living. He therefore spoke to the young monk and told him, "Listen, now that Meir is away, this is the time to strike." He told the monk that Meir's young son was a genius, for even at the tender age of 5, he already knew how to study the Bible in the original in Hebrew. He told the monk that it would be a wonderful victory for him if he took the kid away from Meir and brought him up as a true goy. The young monk became quite enthusiastic at the thought and hurried to get the villagers together to arrange the kidnapping of the child. Perhaps some instinct warned Meir of the threatening danger to his beloved ones at home, for he decided all of a sudden, this time, to cut short his travels and return home at once. So he packed his merchandise and set off. Just before reaching his own village, He had to pass through a thick forest. As he walked, the branches of the trees seemed to talk to him and tell him, hurry, hurry, hurry. He forgot his heavy load and began to run. What was that sound? He could hear in the distance. Someone else seemed to be running too. Suddenly, he could clearly make out the sound of a woman crying. Oh! And to his horror, he realized that the wild-looking woman running toward him was none other than his own dear wife. My dear, he cried out, throwing down his pack, tell me, what has happened? Where have you left our son? Oy, thank God you are back, cried his wife. I have been going frantic, for a dreadful calamity has overtaken us. Our son has been taken from us. He has disappeared, and no one in the village will tell me where he is. When Maya managed to calm his wife a little, she sobbed out the sad story. She told him how, without warning, some drunken peasants had burst into their small house, breaking windows and turning over the furniture. Something had struck her, something had struck her with a blow on the head, and she lost consciousness. She became unconscious. When she had come to, she ran out of her house looking for their precious child, who was nowhere to be seen. Frantically, she had run from neighbor to neighbor, but they just shrugged their shoulders and could not or would not tell her if they knew what happened to their little boy. Almost crazy with anxiety, she had then rushed through the village and on through the woods, not knowing what drove her, but hoping and praying her dear husband would return. And so God did hear my prayer this far. Dear husband, cried Maya's wife, for here you are. If the dear God would only answer my prayer fully and send us back our darling son safe and sound. What was there for Maya to say to comfort his wife in this awful situation? He promised he would take her to the rabbi and see what advice this great man could give them. The rabbi listened gravely to the story Meyer told him and said finally, Meyer, what holiday is it today? Meyer's mind was somewhat in a fog as he answered, Rabbi, I know of no holiday today. No, it is Chamisha Osa B'Shvat today, the new year for trees. This is the time when all the trees begin their new life again, and all that seem dead wake up from their slumber to live again, as long as the roots are deep and alive. Go out into the forest, my friends, and learn a lesson from the trees in winter. Somewhat bewildered, Meyer and his wife thanked the rabbi and left him, wondering what the rabbi meant by his strange words. Still, the rabbi had spoken, and he was not a man to waste words, and they knew that what he said was always important. So they went back homewards, and as they walked through the forest, listen to this, kids, the trees seemed to urge them forward, and the leaves seemed to whisper, yes, 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 he's here, sure, he's here. All at once, they came upon a wooden hut. And from within came the sound of voices. Two voices, one of a man's and the other of a child's. Meyer and his wife looked at each other unbelievingly, yet hopefully. Could it be? Could it be? They knocked at the door, which was opened at once. Before anyone had a chance to say anything, parents and son recognized each other immediately and all jumped forward to embrace each other. Oh, my son, called out the boy's mother, laughing and crying at the same time. Meyer looked at the young man who came forward with an outstretched hand. It is a very strange story I have to relate to you. I shall tell you it all in detail some other time. Right now, I want to tell you it all in a brief way, very shortly, that I have to thank your dear learned son for having brought me back to the faith of my forefathers. When I was very young, I was taken away from my people and brought up and then trained as a priest in a monastery, in a church. I had learned to accept my lot and thought I was doing good in my role. But these few days with your wonderful child brought back my own childhood memories, and I came to remember that I too had once been a Jewish boy. Something I believed dead and buried came back to life and stirred within me, so that I decided to hide away with your son until the village priest would give us up as lost and forget about us. This is what the young monk told Meyer and his wife. I had every intention of contacting you to let you know of our whereabouts, and I have hoped, and indeed the hope, now that you will forgive me and help me come back to the Jewish fold. I know I have much to learn to make up for the past, and I can assure you that your son has given me a wonderful start. I shall always be grateful to him and to you, and shall forever thank God for his wonderful ways. Now everything was clear to Meyer. The reason for his being sent by the rabbi to the woods was obviously for the purpose of saving the young monk, the young priest, and bringing him back to the Jewish faith. The ways of the Almighty are truly strange, but everything he does is always for the good of his children. Kindalach, you heard the story, and there is so much that you can learn from this story. First of all, that when your rabbi speaks to you, when Tati and Mami speak to you, you should listen. And not always, maybe, do you like what you hear or what they tell you, but you must rely upon them, that they know what they're doing, and what they're doing for the best of you. And always want to help you, because they love you dearly. And their whole life is you children. And so you, dear Kindalach, you should learn from this little story that the Rabbeinu Shalom, Almighty God, watches over his Kindalach wherever they are. And if only you put your faith properly in him, he will never, never leave you. And he will never, never, God forbid, do anything to hurt you. So go forth, be good, Kindalach. Listen to Tati and Mami. Listen to your grandparents. Listen to your elders. Listen to your rabbi. And God will bless you, that you will be a source of great Yiddish nachas to your parents and to the entire congregation of the people of Israel.